Hi folks, welcome to a special interview from the Pit Crew Online, from the fans, for the fans. Ahead of the Le Mans 24-hour race this weekend, we sat down with Inter-Europol competition LMP2 driver Alex Brundle, who this weekend takes part in his 8th Le Mans event, and his first with his new team. Alex gave us some wonderful insight into endurance racing and how his career has developed and blossomed. He's a lovely sport and a great guy to talk to, as you'll hear. Let's get into it. Alex, thanks for your time. Are you entering your 8th Le Mans 24 hours this week? Talk us through just how special a Le Mans race week is and how much hard work goes into it.
I mean, it's different to any other race in that, you know, some teams will prepare, you know, in days of old all year for one race weekend. And, you know, it's a very drawn out affair, less so in kind of COVID times where things are a little more compressed, but it's still a longer race weekend than any other, of course, in the race distance and also in terms of the full experience. And the whole thing is just a race, but double the size. You know, the track's double the size, the speed's higher, the race is incredibly long, and it blows your mind, honestly, the first time you come here. On the 8th time, you start to feel a little bit like, you know what you're doing, but this place still always surprises you.
It must be like a really unique race.
It's completely its own thing. Like the Nürburgring 24 hours is, or the Isle of Man TT, I imagine it's, you know, it's its own event where really you have to just orientate yourself to the fact that you're out on public roads in, you know, a sports car, a proper racing, you know, F1 top speed racing car, and that is something that takes a lot of getting used to, along with the sheer number of cars on the racetrack and the speed differential between those cars. It's something you can't just jump into and do well without, you know, a significant car advantage or a team that are really set up around you. So yeah, it's hard, and you need to grow experience here to be, you know, reliably successful, I think.
Now, your father won Le Mans in 1990, not too long before you were born. He had obviously relative success in the motorsport world, but where did your love of racing spring from?
I mean, really that. I mean, over the few years Dad spent at Le Mans, I actually spent a bit more time around the programs, particularly the Toyota GT1 program. When I was a little guy, I went to lots of the testing when they were testing at airfields and racetracks, actually, you know, with Dad. So they were really the first kind of cars that I saw in the flesh, out on track, or that I was involved in the program. And I came to Le Mans with the Toyota GT1 as well. So it's been a huge part of my love for racing, but I don't really remember a time when I didn't want to be involved, you know, all the way through my junior life. It's been the direction that I wanted to take, and I've had a kind of singularity of purpose ever since then to try to get as far as I can in racing.
That's amazing. And then obviously you raced with him as well in 2012 in Le Mans. Just how special and emotional was that to be able to race with your dad?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, we've done a couple of races together, but that was probably the biggest event we've done together. And yeah, it's a really special experience. It was my first Le Mans as well. So it was a tough weekend, actually, because you're going to Le Mans for the very first time. There was no hiding from media attention or hiding from scrutiny for me, because we had a full Nissan kind of media machine behind us. So not only was that a brilliant thing and amazing to share that experience with him and something that we'll never forget, but it was also quite challenging, you know, because I'm coming to Le Mans for the first time as a rookie, and I really had to learn a lot from him. I think the Le Mans over the last few years has become more approachable. But, you know, back then it was a real, you know, you really had to lean on your teammates if you were coming to Le Mans for the first time. And he was great in terms of teaching me the ropes around here. And then, of course, I came back to the next year and was able to be on the podium. So he must have done a pretty decent job of it.
Great stuff. Let's talk about 2016, shall we? Because you got three wins on your way to winning the European Le Mans series. What did that feel like, having all those years of hard work yield a championship success?
Yeah, finally. I mean, it was a beautiful moment for me, actually, because I'd had a couple of years out with a issue, a muscular issue in around the top of my pelvis, lower stomach. And it was, you know, that was not a quick fix. That was a long fix. After 2014, I spent most of 2015 unable to drive. There was a lot of work to do to get myself back in racing shape. And then to jump back in after putting all that work in, I was so determined to try to kind of reboot my career, and did so with United Autosports. Also, it was actually their second year in that championship, but the first really strong year of LMP3 competition. And, you know, if you look at kind of where we are, where I am now and where they are now, it launched us both into a trajectory, which is great. It was a case of kind of coming back to racing in the most successful way. So it was really great for me.
You finished second in class in Le Mans last year. You're now contesting this race with your sixth team into Europol competition, a Polish team, their first Le Mans. So does this feel special in terms of joining a team at the start of their Le Mans journey? Does it feel unique to the rest of the races you've competed in at Le Mans?
It won't be their first Le Mans. They've been here in the Ligier, but obviously their first Le Mans in an Orica, as you say. So that is their first time really being, you know, in a position to compete. You know, and for me, that's the next stage in my journey. There's only so much you can prove about yourself, I believe, as a sports car driver by, you know, jumping in one of the better cars and going and converting that into a race win, which is something I've done with G-Drive, something I've done with United Autosports and Jota through the past. Then you get to a point in your career where you're a service provider to a team, and you have to bring all of the experience you learn through kind of years of hard competition and try to move forward, you know, using their expertise and knowledge as well, and find a way to be successful from base principles. And that's something which is really exciting about our journey right now, and something I believe we're doing race by race.
The car stands out pretty well too, right? I really like the colour scheme.
Yeah, it really glows, doesn't it? That helps, actually. I mean, nobody's claiming that they didn't see us out on track, that's for sure. It's cool, and I really like the colour scheme. I really like the colour scheme of the car. Manti, kind of Manti-esque, isn't it? You know, when they start winning stuff, which I'm sure we will, these things become iconic.
And I just want to ask you quickly about the future of the WEC Championship. You mentioned, of course, LMP3 has become more competitive, LMP2 as well. The number of entries in LMP1 had decreased over the years before, obviously, the hypercar era, I guess you could call it. What do you predict about the format of WEC in the next few seasons, or is it quite difficult to predict?
It's a very interesting time for the WEC, actually. And it really depends on the success of the hypercar formula, which looks to be moderately successful at this point, but I think will quickly trend towards being very successful. And then the question, actually, I believe, will be where is the space going to come from for all the other classes? Because you're going to have a lot of high-profile manufacturers wanting to run these prototype cars. Where will the private team stand in terms of getting an entry if they don't want to buy and run a hypercar? It's going to be difficult. So I think that we're going to see a very, very rich era of sports car racing with some amazing cars and drivers. It's going to shift, definitely going to shift the tides in terms of what kind of teams you're seeing running these cars in the World Championship, and what teams can and cannot get an entry for Le Mans.
I was looking over your career during my research as well. I don't know how interested you'll be, but this is your 220th professional race start in your career since 2006. Does it feel like that many, or has it just been so fun over your career that you haven't really noticed?
Yeah, I saw. Actually, I believe you sent the question through, and I saw that one, and you caught me by surprise. That's an interesting one. 220. Yeah, seems about right. I've been around a while. I've started some races, it's all about the journey, you know. And it's been really fun, but it takes that, you know, it takes that to see, because so many different things can happen on a racetrack when you press the button and the green light goes, you know, that really, you know, it takes that to know. Well, I think it was Jill DeFerrin who, you know, I asked for advice as a younger man, and he looked me square in the eye and he goes, "You've got to turn up to the racetrack and know what the hell you're doing." and I'm like, well, yeah, actually, now I've done a few races, although that seemed like a platitude at the time, it was a great piece of advice. You really do. Like, it just, there's just no substitute for experience. And it's been great fun. It's been a great ride. And I'm 31, just 31. I've got a lot of racing still to do, and I need to win this race. You know, that's really the pinnacle of my ambitions, is to win this race overall and to win this championship overall. That's the aim. That's what I'm going for. So I have to keep on pushing.
And just on that point of experience, do you sometimes feel like you've gone full circle, having more experience now? Do you find yourself giving that advice to some of the younger drivers?
Definitely. I mean, that's kind of a big part of our function as well in sports car racing. And when you look through to making the jump towards being a pro driver here, especially in a 2021 grid where the cars are, you know, let's face it, big downforce, paddle shift, a lot like a junior single seater, plus a bit of weight and a bit of power, you know. Am I going to go out and just put 2 seconds on somebody coming out of Formula 3? No, I'm not. They're all very competent. They get more competent all the time. But what I can do is do the job, my job, without, you know, giving myself a little extra time also to assist everyone around me and give that bit of extra time to everyone around me and become almost, 10% team manager in many ways. You give all of your experience, you help your teammates out, you bring the right kind of mentality and attitude to the race team. And I think that's something you only really appreciate after a decent amount of time in the car. And I think it's something that the teams really appreciate from you. And that's how you can stand out in 2021 by taking that approach.
And just lastly from me, a nice little fun one to finish. I heard yesterday that you've earned the nickname the Cookie Monster. I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it comes from John and Eve at Radio Le Mans, who tried to, the second time I did Le Mans. They tried to, Eve's cooking is notoriously fantastic. They have a jar full of cookies in the kitchen. They tried to offer me one, and I believe I got a piece of paper out and started to explain to them exactly how much time over a lap of Le Mans that cookie corresponded to in terms of weight. And so I think they've called me the Cookie Monster ever since. Not because I eat them, but because I refuse to. I've since apologised to Eve, because I've heard her cookies are legendary and it was probably worth it. But yeah, that's where that story comes from.
I did not regret asking that question. That's a brilliant story. Alex, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it today, and best of luck this weekend in the Le Mans 24 Hour.
Thanks a lot.
As you heard there, Alex is as committed as ever to making sure he wins the Le Mans 24 Hours and the WEC Championship. He was absolutely fantastic, and his humour and insight were both charming and fascinating. We wish him luck for the weekend, and make sure to follow the unique weekend's action on the Pit Crew Online's Twitter.